Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for this morning is taken from Luke chapter 17. What a life-changing event for those lepers to be cleansed. Yet how many came back to thank Jesus? Only one. Regardless of what blessings Jesus give us, whether it's life-changing, huge, or little day-to-day, let's always be found to go back and thank our Savior. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. God's word we consider in our sermon this morning is the Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. What are your favorite Thanksgiving memories? Is one of your favorite memories going out and shooting that 10-point buck and then savoring the venison on Thanksgiving Day? Or how about the long drives and the trips to be with family, and the different things you'd talk about in the car on the way? Or maybe for you, it's just the feast with all the standard food, the turkey and gravy, the stuffing and jello salads, mashed potatoes and pies. Or how about going around the Thanksgiving table, each person listing off their favorite blessings? Or maybe for you, it's watching football and looking ahead at the different Black Friday deals you might go hunting for later that night or the next day, or it seems like those things last for a whole week, don't they? I'm guessing you're going to make more memories this week, too. But as we take a closer look at Deuteronomy 8, our God wants to make this a thanksgiving to remember. A thanksgiving to remember our Lord's word, to remember our Lord's goal for us, and to remember our Lord's bounty. Deuteronomy was a collection of sermons that Moses delivered to the Israelites as they were about to enter the Promised Land. They were about to take possession of this land flowing with milk and honey. 40 years earlier, they had sent spies out into the land to survey everything, and they found that things were so plentiful that they were able to carry one cluster of grapes on a pole between two of the spies as they walked back. There in the Promised Land, God's people would enjoy plenty of bread, barley porridge, beer, grapes, raisins and wine, pomegranates, figs, dates, olives, melons, vegetables. They would use olive oil for baking and cooking, for lotion, and to help keep their lamps going. They had a cornucopia of blessings there in the Promised Land. But even from that land flowing with milk and honey, if one of the Israelites were to come and walk through the automatic sliding doors of our local Piggly Wiggly or our Walmart, I'm pretty sure they'd be taken aback and overwhelmed. All the choices that we have, the huge amounts of food that we have, right? We have fried and frozen and fresh. We've got ice cream in so many different flavors, chocolate, strawberry, and mint. We've got all kinds of meats, from bratwurst to beef, to different kinds of fish. We've got different kinds of bread, everything from white to 12 grain, everything from split top to sandwich-shaped slices of bread. And that's just the food. The Israelites, they had sandals. We've got Nikes or Reeboks. They had robes. We've got Kohl's or Target. They had donkeys. We've got Fords and Chevys and Toyotas and Hondas. They had oxen pulling plows. Wow, if they could only see some of the farming equipment that we have. They had olive oil for their lotion. Well, we've got Bath and Body Works, don't we? They had couriers who would deliver personal messages. We've got smartphones. And even shopping on the internet, and it gets delivered to your door. Wow. Even if we don't feel very wealthy compared to other Americans, perhaps, I read recently that even those who are living at what is considered to be the poverty line here in the United States are wealthier than 85% of the rest of the world. All the more reason for us to give our attention to these words from Deuteronomy. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Now, maybe you find it a little bit ironic that the pastor is reminding people of the value of God's word. He's reminding people who have carved out precious time on a holiday to gather around God's word. Well, what's that all about? Well, it actually goes a little bit deeper than that. Notice how God uses not one, not two, but three words to describe how important what he says to us is: his commands, his decrees, and his laws. And those words that he uses, it's not just about our hearing, it's about our obeying and about our living. Does it ever happen to you that you come into this building and listen to a message and listen to the music, and then you go out and give very little effort to trust in the Lord, to love your neighbor, to control yourself? Commands, laws, and decrees. If you were to read through all of Deuteronomy or all of the books of Moses, those first five books of the Bible, you would find an awful lot of commands, laws, and decrees. And there's a reason for that. Because God expects holiness in every aspect, in every area of our life. Yet those commands, laws, and decrees embedded in there were routines that God wanted to use for his people to remember God's holiness and God's forgiveness for them. To forget those commands and laws and decrees would be for their relationship with their loving God to fade and eventually pass away. That was a big deal. That's why God wants us today also to make this a thanksgiving to remember. A thanksgiving to remember his word. But it's also a thanksgiving to remember the Lord's goal. If the ancient Israelites had had a history committee like we have here at St. Paul's, I'm pretty sure Moses would have been on it. Moses realized the value of watching how the Lord led them through the past to the present. And also, that helped inform how the Lord would guide and bless them in the future. Think about the last 156 years here for this congregation. We've had different steeples, different buildings, different pastors and teachers, different languages that we've worshiped in, different hymnals, different ministry programs, whether that's Sunday school or the day school or living nativity. So many different things, so much change throughout the years, yet the same Lord has been mindful of us, has kept us in mind. As you listen to Moses' history lesson again here, see if you can tell what the Lord's goal for his people is. He, the Lord, brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. Did you catch it? What the Lord's goal is for his people, us too? That in the end, it might go well for us. He proved that for his Old Testament people by rescuing them from slavery, by protecting them from dangers along the way to the promised land, and by providing for them. But that path to the promised land was not quite like our roads today, cruising along at 70, with the radio on for the adults, a DVD in for the kids, and a quick trip every other exit. It wasn't quite the same for the ancient Israelites. The Lord humbled and tested them. Just manna and water, bread and water, it was a simple and sustaining supply for them. But it was humbling and testing for them too. Let's make this a Thanksgiving to remember. Form your own history committee. Maybe that's a committee of one for yourself, or a committee of a few for your family. How has the Lord accomplished his goal for you? Well, in spite of all the times we've forgotten the Lord and his word, the Lord has rescued us from slavery. Slavery to sin. He sent his son Jesus to be our Savior. Jesus' death on the cross, his blood shed there, bought us back from slavery to sin. You and I, we deserve to die countless times along the road between here and eternity. Yet the Lord remembered us. He kept his promise to deliver us from slavery to the fear of death. Christ is risen. Heaven is ours. The grave is conquered. Eternal life, that's where we're headed. That's how God proves that he wants it to go well for us in the end. Think of all the traveling he's protected us on the roads, sidewalks, through the air, or on cruises or on boats. Think of all the disasters that are common in our world, fires, shootings, wars, floods, crashes. Yet our Lord has sheltered and shielded us from so much. Yet the Lord has humbled and tested each of our families, hasn't he? Maybe for you it was a job that fell through, or a great crop that was destroyed by severe weather. Maybe for you it's a health condition that's really hard to cope with, or tight budgets that you barely feel like you're going to make it from one month to the next. Maybe for you it's a family member who's resistant to the Lord along this journey of life, or your own temptations to grumble and rebel against the Lord. So many ways that the Lord humbles and tests us, but the Lord wants it to go well for us in the end. He wants us in the promised land. He wants us in paradise, passing through the pearly gates. And if it takes a little humbling and testing along the way, that's what he's willing to do because of his great goal for us. Make this a Thanksgiving to remember. Remember the Lord's goal, that he wants it to go well for us. And also, remember the Lord's bounty. The longer I'm around in this world, the more amazed I am by the different things people can do. People who can act and sing and perform in ways that connect with our experiences and emotions. It's truly entertaining. Or people who can make explosive cuts, picture-perfect passes, and tough tackles, and brilliant play calls. Or people who can manage hundreds of acres of farm field and produce tons of beans and corn. Or people who can run and manage hundreds of cows so that tons of beef and milk are produced. People that can design and install sleek and sturdy bathroom fixtures or kitchen fixtures. There's so many amazing things humans can do. What about you? Are you more brains or brawn? Business savvy or untiring work ethic? Regardless, the Lord asks us to remember. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers, as it is today. Several times in this section of Scripture, it says the Lord gives. He gives, he gives, and he gives. He's given us our lives, forming us in our mother's womb. He's given us our own unique personality and characteristics and abilities. The Lord has given to us our health so that we can function and be productive. Whether the Lord has given you the gifts of being a truck driver or a mother, an insurance rep or an accountant, a farmer or a coach or a teacher, think of how giving the Lord has been to you, how generous. That's the Lord's bounty. Think of how much has to happen inside of you in order for you to function. Your eyes taking in images, your brain processing them and sending signals to the rest of your body, muscles contracting, joints moving, food digesting for energy, your immune system fending off germs and other diseases. So much has to happen. That's all because the Lord is guiding and governing things for you. Think about what has to happen outside of you. There has to be a population center and a market set up for your business or your job. You have a team of workers that works with you or underneath you or alongside of you. The weather has to cooperate. There have to be transportation systems set up. All of that, thanks to our gracious God who governs all things. And even after our abilities fade, after our body stops working here, our God is so bountiful. He restores us to perfect working order for all eternity in heaven. Let's make this a Thanksgiving to remember by remembering the Lord's bounty. What will you remember most from Thanksgiving 2018? Will it be the family, the food, the friends, the Black Friday shopping, the football? Let's make sure this is at the top of the list, that the Lord has remembered us. In this section of Scripture, even though Moses is talking to hundreds of thousands of the children of Israel, even though millions of Christians down through the ages have read these words from Deuteronomy, God uses you singular. God is concerned about you personally. He cares for you as an individual. That's why he made you. That's why he sent his son to save you. That's why he made you one of his people in baptism. That's why he provides you with blessings so abundantly every day. Let's make this a Thanksgiving to remember. Remembering the Lord's word, remembering the Lord's goal, remembering the Lord's bounty. Let's remember the Lord always. Amen. Please stand.